Continue to pray. This is just the beginning. We don't know exactly what we're getting into right away, but we're excited. So enough about me. Let's talk about you guys. Let's talk about us. By a show of hands, how many of you have been to a funeral in your life? The majority of us have, yeah. How many of you have spoken to the person in the casket while you were at that funeral? Normal. How many of you have got a response back from the person in the casket? Good. 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 I was going to say, if you have, you should probably talk to somebody because that would have been terrifying. But nobody raised their hand, so that's good. That's good. And you say, well, why would you even ask that? Everybody knows that dead people can't talk. Everybody knows that they couldn't respond because life wasn't in them. You know, just as those people, as we will all once pass away, there's a spiritual problem as well. Have you tried sharing the gospel with people who were spiritually dead, the lost world, who didn't quite understand who Jesus was? It was like talking to somebody who was dead. They couldn't respond to spiritual things because they were not spiritually alive. Paul has a little bit to say about why that was, what kept them there, what has kept us there, and who God is and how He can change that situation. So if you guys have your Bibles, join me in Ephesians chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 1 through 8 tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously lived according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient." Verse 3, "We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also." Verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love that He had for us, made us alive with Christ. Even though we were dead in trespasses, you were saved by grace. He also raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavens in Christ Jesus." Verse 7, "So that in the coming ages He might display the immeasurable riches of His grace through His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You this evening, Lord, humbly before You, God. You've heard our prayer request this evening, Lord, and we would also pray that You would bless this time that we are getting into Your Word, God, that You would just do a mighty work, that You would open the eyes of the people who are blind, Lord, that You would open the hearts of the people who have hearts of stone, Lord, that You would just do a mighty work in this place tonight. Lord, we commit these next few moments to You. You are a holy God. There is no God like You. Lord, we love You and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Paul begins verse 1 with the coroner's report. He says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and your sins." You see, the reality of our life is we were once dead in our trespasses and our sins. He's talking to the church at Ephesus. So this is the church he is talking to. He's reminding them, you were once dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously lived according to the ways of the world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. The things that kept us dead in our sins and trespasses, he says in verse 2, what kept us there? One, the first thing he says is the world. Believer, Christian, church, do you remember a time, do you remember the time when the world kept you away from God? When you were chasing the money that this world had to offer? When you were chasing the relationship that this world had to offer? When you were chasing whatever it was that made you feel good, whatever it was that made you happy? That's where your eyes were fixed. Do you remember the time? Do you remember the thing? Do you remember the person? Yeah, we all have that testimony. We absolutely remember it. But it wasn't of us. It says, going on, according to the ruler of the power of the air. We know that Satan, the devil, wants to do everything he can to keep us away from a relationship with God. We know that he is constantly prowling, looking who he can seek, kill, and destroy, looking who he can devour. This veil is over our eyes, so that he could keep us away from the truth of God, the truth of salvation, the truth of the resurrected Christ. And he did everything he could. And we, being dead in our sin and trespasses, we loved that day when we didn't know Christ. We loved that time in our life when we didn't know Christ. We were filling ourselves with everything but the truth of God's word, and we loved it. And we loved it, and we loved it, and we chased after it, and we wanted nothing more than whatever made us happy. You see, the devil's still working today. He says at the tail end of verse 2, the Spirit now working in the disobedient. He is still alive and well. He is still keeping veils over people's eyes. He is still doing the work that he's doing, keeping people away from Christ. Do you remember when you were there? Do you remember when you were there? And if you didn't, Paul reminds us here, we all too previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and we were by nature children under wrath. There was a time in your life where you did whatever it is that you wanted to do with no regard for Jesus Christ, no regard for the Word of God, no regard for a holy God who created you. You did exactly what you wanted to do. Exactly what you wanted to do. You marched to the beat of your own drum. You didn't care about spiritual things. You didn't care about godly things. You didn't care about what the Word had to say about how you should live your life. You didn't care. And because you didn't care at that time, he tells us we were children under wrath as others were also. We were born into this sin nature and we so willingly walked this sin lifestyle for as long as we walked, church. For me, I quit walking that lifestyle. I gave my life to Christ at 19 years old and he began to change my life, every aspect of my life. I began to surrender and give to God. And he pulled me out of this. He pulled me out of this. But it says we were once children, by nature children under wrath. As we were walking, if we died, we wouldn't have known at the time, but we know now that if we died without Christ, we were destined for hell. If we died without a Savior, there was nothing that we could do to go to heaven. There's no other opportunity to get to heaven. And the sad fact of this is we didn't care. There was a time where we didn't care. Heaven was for those who were good people. Heaven was for those who prayed. Heaven was for those who served. And we could reason with ourselves as we were good. We prayed. We served. But we were children. The reality, the fact of the matter is we were children under wrath, waiting, awaiting God's judgment. Amen. No, I'm kidding. That's not where it ends. That's not where it ends. It doesn't stop at verse 3. It doesn't stop here. If you look at verse 4, this here is the testimony of every believer. These first two words, but God. Whenever you see these two words in the Bible, you know something's fixing to happen. You know something's fixing to get flipped around. You know something's about to change. You know it. You can feel it. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ even though we were dead in our trespasses. We are saved by grace. We were dead, but God. In Luke chapter 8, if you guys remember Jairus, he was the ruler whose daughter was sick. And he called Jesus and said, please come to my house. My daughter is sick. And then there was a woman who touched the hem of his garment. And he got tied up for a second. And he healed her. And she went on her way. And as Jesus is walking to Jairus' house, somebody comes up and says, hey, leave him alone. There's no reason for you to come. Your daughter's dead. Your daughter's dead. There's no reason. Let him go. Leave him be. Let the teacher be. You don't need to come here anymore. Jesus went anyways. And he went into that room and he told that little girl, get up. Get up. And just like that, she was alive. Just like that, she was a new creation. Just like that, she was back, but she was new. Just like that. Why? Because God. But God, though she was dead, but God was on the scene and raised her up. God was there who changed her fate. God was there, and it was only him that could do it. It was only him that could do it. You see, Verse 4, we were dead in our sins. It's what it says, we were. And let me tell you something about a coffin. It is designed for somebody who is dead. A coffin is comfortable for somebody who is dead. Why? Because they don't care. They're dead. It doesn't matter to them. They're comfortable. But if you were to wake up and come back to life in a coffin, you'd feel a little claustrophobic, wouldn't you? Man, it's a little tight in here. Man, I don't like the way this feels. Somebody let me out of here. And you would get out as fast as you could, and you wouldn't go back to laying in that because it wasn't designed for somebody who's alive. A coffin is not designed for somebody who's alive. So because what verse 4 says, but God, we don't have to go back to that casket. It's not comfortable. It shouldn't be comfortable for us as Christians to go back to that old lifestyle, to go back to that sin and those trespasses. We got to get out. We got to act like we're alive. We can't keep going back to the coffin because God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love that He had for us, made us alive in Christ Jesus, even though we were dead in our trespasses. We're saved by grace. You know God loves you, right? John chapter 3, verse 16 says, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what His Word says. God so loved us, He so loved me, He so loved you that He sent His Son to die so that you wouldn't have to experience living dead your whole life. You could experience what it's like to live alive in Christ Jesus. And you can only do that by the power of the Holy Spirit through Christ Jesus. And not only has He saved you, He relocated you. Well, look what verse 7 says. Or verse 6, actually, excuse me. He also raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavens in Christ Jesus. You see, once we were destined for hell, once we were going to hell, once we were dead in our sin and trespasses, destined on the highway, going as fast as we could with reckless abandon, we were going to hell. But Jesus saved us. And He relocated us to, my Bible says, raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavens. In Christ, we're going to be in heaven with Jesus Christ one day because the choice that we made to accept Him as our Lord and Savior and to follow Him. Isn't that awesome? And it's all because God loved us. It's all because God saw that we couldn't fix the sin on our own, that He had to send somebody who could change our outcome. We couldn't do it. If we could do it, we would have done it by now. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing I can do. Verse 4 says, but God. But God can. But God could. But God did. And there's comfort in that. There's comfort in that. And what's awesome is verse 7 says, so that in the coming ages He might display His immeasurable riches of His grace through His kindness to us. Imagine eternity with the Father, with the Creator of heaven and earth. You guys got that picture? No, you don't. It's hard to imagine. That's why I say imagine it, because we don't have that picture. Eternity. No tears. No sorrow. No bad days. No fighting with your spouse. No doing the dishes. An eternity with Christ as our Lord and Savior. An eternity with Christ as our Lord and Savior. All because God sent Him to die for you and I. All because 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus hung on a cross, was buried, and rose again 3 days later. All because He loved us. And if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have that salvation, though we might not be able to imagine it, that's our reality. That's our reality. This is what we as believers have to look forward to. This is what we as followers of Christ get to look forward to. And I'm excited, though I got some people that I'm praying for here because they don't have that. I can't wait for the day. I cannot wait for the day. And you ask, well, what do you need to do to get that? I don't want to die and go to hell. That was my friend Jonathan's. He said, I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to be saved. What do you got to do to get that? Not coming to church. Though that helps. That's a great thing. It's not putting your tithes and offerings in these places. Though that's nice. That's what you should be doing. That ain't it either. It's not serving at the meal ministry. It's not doing anything that is setting you aside to say, hey, look how great I am, or look how much I'm working for God. It is a simple process. Verse 8 says, you are saved by grace through faith, and it is not of yourselves. It's a gift from God. The only thing that we could do to change our fate from hell to heaven, it's putting our faith and trust in the one who came and died for us. Putting our faith and trust in the one who shed his blood on a cross for you and me. If we could save ourselves, I wouldn't be standing here talking to you. This church house would be empty. There'd be no hope. There would be no need for hope because we could do it all ourselves. It's faith by grace that we are saved. It's a simple process, really. And it's a gift from God. A gift. All you have to do to receive a gift is accept it. That's all you have to do. That is all you have to do. You see, the reality of many of our situations, praise the Lord if you have that salvation, but the reality is you can spend your whole life a dead man walking, spiritually dead, and have no clue, have no regard for spiritual things. You spend your entire life living for you, doing things your way, making sure that you're taken care of. And that will lead you, as good as your life might be on this planet, as great as you are as a person, as high of a status as you have in the community, as much money as you make, all of those things without a Savior lead to hell. All of those things without Christ lead right to hell. It isn't until you experience salvation in Christ that you know what it means to be truly alive. You see, the fact of the matter tonight is you're in one of two places. The first place that you can be in is this testimony. Hey, I was dead. I was dead in my sin and trespasses. I was loving the world and wanting to do what the world what was felt good to me and wanted to keep the world from me. Satan still had this blinder over your eyes, that you were still operating out of your fleshly desires. But your testimony is, yeah, I was there, but God pulled me out. But God changed my lifestyle. But God put me on the right path, the straight and narrow, and now I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And because of that, heaven awaits. But the other place you could be tonight is still dead in your trespasses and sins, still living for you, still doing what the world wants you to do, still in that coffin, still there, comfortable, because you don't realize. You don't realize that you're spiritually dead. And friends, if that's you tonight, the reality of that place, the truth of if you're in that place tonight, if you die tonight, hell awaits. It's as simple as it gets. Hell awaits you. It doesn't have to, because what verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love that He had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in our trespasses. That could be your testimony tonight. I want to just think about it for 1 second. The question I have is, where are you tonight? Where are you tonight? Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, Lord, You are an awesome God. Lord, there is none like You, Lord. We are so thankful as believers that You died for us, Lord. And we've been spiritually made alive in Christ. And we are so grateful for that chance, that opportunity. When we heard the gospel, Lord, we acted because we knew that we were sinners. Or we knew that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And our eyes had been opened by the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would put our faith and trust in You, that we would not perish, God, but have everlasting life. Lord, I pray that You search our hearts tonight, Lord, that as we leave this place, God, that there are people who don't have that, who don't know that. Lord, there may be some sitting in here tonight that don't know, that aren't sure. Lord, may today be the day of their salvation. Lord, there's nothing that I can do for them other than preach Your word, God, and tell them. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit be in this place tonight and that You stir up those hearts. God, we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.